a brand new series on the book of Joshua. It's going to take us through the spring into the summer, and we're going to be looking at this Old Testament book. But in order for us to start this new series, what we need to do is I want us to take us back and begin in Deuteronomy. We're going to do that this morning. So Deuteronomy is the book that immediately precedes Joshua in the Old Testament. And so in order for us to get the biblical flow of the narrative that's happening here in Joshua, I think it's important for us to read two portions of scripture in Deuteronomy first before we get into the book of Joshua chapter 1. So I want to begin with Deuteronomy chapter 31, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to read from the end of Deuteronomy chapter 34, and you'll see how seamlessly that will lead from Deuteronomy, and it'll flow right into Joshua chapter 1. I'm not going to make you stand today because this is going to be a little bit longer of a Bible reading, but that's okay. It'll be on the screen behind me. The title of today's message, if you have your program, it's on the back there. It's Be Encouraged No Matter What, Because God Is With You. Can I say that again? Be encouraged no matter what, because God is with you. Let's begin. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning with verse 1. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan River. But the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. Verse 4, the Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So I want us to pause before I move on here for just a second, okay? These next words that we're going to hear are almost verbatim the words that we're going to read in just a moment when we get to Joshua chapter 1, okay? Let's continue. Verse 6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Deuteronomy 34. I'm going to begin with verse 5. We're just going to see this flow right into Joshua chapter 1. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in the valley near Beth Peor in Moab. But to this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, and he was still strong as ever. The people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days until the customary period of mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord had commanded Moses. There had never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. With mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in the sight of all Israel. Here we go. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord told Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction, also known as the book of the law, continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather together today, not only those of us in the room, those who are joining us online. And God, we're going to take this journey, Lord, through the life of Joshua and the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. And Father, I pray that this would be not just a journey that we observe from the outside, a story that we read. We know that it happened, but God, we want to see how this applies to our lives here, now, today. What things are you going to speak to us, Lord, in this season as we walk through the book of Joshua? Father, I pray everything that you have intended, both for today and the days ahead as we study your word, I pray, God, that your word will change us from the inside out, that there would be more than just head knowledge that we would gain about the Bible, but God, that we'd open up our hearts and our minds to the things that you want to do and the things you want to say. God, move us forward, propel us forward in faith, in you, trusting you, God, because you are with us no matter where we go. And we thank you for the promise that is found in your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. 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 Well, I want to point something out here really quick. Three times in those last four verses that we read there in Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now, courage can be a characteristic that we struggle with at times. Ever since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, people have struggled with courage. And I think it's just a basic result that comes from sin. That's what sin does in our lives. You go back to the story of Adam and Eve. Once they sinned, what did they do? They ran away, right? They fled from God, thinking that they could hide themselves from him. And unfortunately, not too much has changed from that time until today. Even today, often I think that we as God's people, we can be fearful to do the right thing at times, to obey the things that he has told us to do, that he's spoken to us through his word. Why? Well, the truth is, if you don't know this or not, we're just like everyone else. We don't want to face criticism. We don't want to face opposition. The fear of being canceled in this day of age of social media is a real thing, isn't it? Sometimes we put fear, Lord, am I really supposed to do this? What if I put my neck on the line? And we want to draw back because we're afraid, okay? Discouragement and fear cause us to be quiet at times, and we fail to speak and do the things we know that God is asking us to do. And I think one of the reasons why this happens is answered for us right here in Joshua chapter 1. The problem is, as human beings, we tend to forget. We tend to forget. On one hand, we forget that God has promised to be with us no matter where we go, no matter what we do. He promises to be with us. But secondly, God clearly speaks to us in his word, telling us what he expects of us and how we can walk in obedience with him. And so in this passage that we're going to study together today, we're going to see that God does speak. And he speaks directly to Joshua, and he commissions him to take this leadership mantle from Moses and lead the nation of Israel into the land that he has promised to give them. Now, I want to take a moment. I want us to get some context here. There's a lot happening in Deuteronomy and moving into Joshua. And I want to take some time to look at this context because it's not just going to help us with today's message, but it's really going to help us set the foundation of the series that we'll be taking through Joshua. All right, so After 400 years of bondage, Israel is miraculously delivered from Egypt. God helped his people make passage, safe passage through the Red Sea, where he ended up destroying the armies of Egypt that were chasing after them. Then the Lord brought Israel to the promised land only to have them rebel and not place their trust in him. In fact, if you read the account of Exodus when this happened, the people literally told Moses, "We wish we were back in slavery in Egypt. It would be far better. We wish we could go back to what we were experiencing there, because what we're experiencing here is far worse." And God was so angry with the children of Israel, he sent them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years until every adult had died except for two men, Joshua and Caleb. You might remember their story. Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies who were sent in. After they were brought out of Egypt, they went into the promised land and they were to spy out the land, and they came back with a good report, saying that it was ready for the taking, that God had surely given it to the nation of Israel. But the other 10 spies came back and they gave back a negative report. They came back, they were fearful, they were cowards. And because of their report, the nation of Israel followed them instead. And so due to their unbelief, Israel ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So now these 40 years are up. It's complete. And the life of Moses has come to an end. And the Israelites find themselves in a time of unbelievable transition. This leadership mantle is being passed from Moses, who's probably the greatest leader the world had ever seen up until this point. It's being passed now from him to Joshua. But even Moses, as great as he was not going to be permitted to go into the promised land. This goes back to Numbers chapter 20, where the people were thirsty. They're in the wilderness. They're dying of thirst. And God tells Moses to speak to the rock, and that water would flow and provide water for the people to drink from. But Moses was so discouraged by the people. He'd been leading them, and they had been so disobedient and so against him. Instead of speaking to the rock, in his anger, he struck the rock. And because of that one instance of disobedience, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. So at the conclusion of Deuteronomy, before Moses dies, this mantle is being passed to Joshua. Then in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, it reveals to us this transition that's taking place. But we also see the commission that is given to Joshua to go in and to take the land. Now think about this. This is a time of incredible upheaval, uncertainty for the people. Imagine for a moment that you were a child who'd grown up in the nation of Israel and you went through this wilderness experience. But now you're adult, you're about to go into the promised land, and you've never known any other leader in your life other than Moses. This reminds me of something that happened a couple years ago. Remember when Queen Elizabeth died? This big news went around the world, and everyone was in a time of mourning because of Queen Elizabeth. And so the day of her funeral, there was a viral video that was posted. There was this mom and her daughter, and they were watching the funeral, and the daughter was very upset. I think she was like maybe 9 or 10 years old, somewhere in that range. And she is upset. She is just sobbing at the fact that the queen has passed away. And her mother, as moms do, I guess, now in this new age that we live in, she got out her cell phone and she started recording her daughter crying. And she said, "Sweetheart, it's okay. We'll have another queen." And she, through her tears, said, "But mom, I don't want another queen. The only queen I've ever known is her." And so that mom uploaded this video and it became viral that will live on forever. This girl was just so sad because the only queen she had ever known was dead now and gone. Back in the 30s and 40s, I wasn't alive at that time. Maybe some of you were, or maybe your parents were. In the 30s and 40s, there were many people who only knew one president during that time, Franklin D. Roosevelt. He served from 1933 until the time of his death in 1945. He's the only U.S. president to ever serve more than two terms in the office. And when he died, the nation went into a time of deep mourning. I mean, who can follow Queen Elizabeth, right? Who can follow President Roosevelt? Who can follow someone like Billy Graham, who is the pastor of America, right? Who can follow those kind of people? When times like this happen, when they occur, friends, we need to make sure that our eyes are in the right place. Not on some man, not on some woman, as wonderful as they are. Our eyes need to be focused in on God. That's where our focus needs to be. So as we study this passage today, we're going to look at and discover four lessons that should encourage us that no matter where we are, no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what we are doing, God is with us. So this is the first lesson we're going to talk about here. We need to remember, if you're taking on your notes, note number one, we need to remember God's servants, they come and they go. It tells us right there in Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant. Let me pause for a moment. 13 times in the book of Joshua, Moses is referred to as the Lord's servant. Of all the titles given to Moses, prophet, deliverer, mediator, of all the titles he has ever been given, probably the greatest title he could be given was servant of the Lord. In fact, at the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua will also be given that same title. But there's another person who is also worthy of that title, and he is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 53. He is called the suffering servant of the Lord. You know who that is? Jesus. He is the suffering servant of the Lord. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus is described as a greater Moses. He's a greater prophet that was promised to come. He's also described as a greater Joshua because he's a greater captain and is a greater leader of his people. So this title, servant of the Lord, yes, it applies to Moses. And yes, we will see it applies to Joshua. But ultimately, this title of servant of the Lord goes to Jesus for what he has done for us. And so we read here that Moses is dead. In fact, God tells Joshua this personally. He says in verse 2, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, normally when we get an announcement like that, it's sad news, but there is good news that comes out of this news that Moses is no longer here. And the good news is this, God's servants, they may die, but God is not dead. God's servants may die. When Billy Graham passed away, he was a good servant of the Lord, but God, he is not dead. His work is not dead. In fact, author Warren Wiersbe says it this way, God buries his workers, but his work goes on. That's the gospel work. So this had to be a traumatic time for the nation of Israel, and it really probably had to be a traumatic time for Joshua as well. Just think about Joshua's upbringing, okay? He was born as a slave in Egypt. Originally, his name was Joshua. But Moses changed his name to Joshua, which in Hebrew means the Lord saves. Now, Joshua has its Greek equivalent, which is Yeshua or Jesus. So just as Joshua means the Lord saves, Jesus means the Lord saves. And I think it's interesting that he is given this name in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where Joseph is told, you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And then just two verses later, he is also given the title Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here in the Old Testament, we see these seeds that are being planted of a God who is with his people. And that will ultimately be fulfilled at the coming of Jesus Christ. So Joshua, born a slave, originally given the name Joshua, he would become a military captain, he'd become a warrior and a great leader for God's people. And in many ways, you would think, man, this guy is ideal. This is the guy that you want to come in and walk in the steps of Moses. He is the perfect person. He's the perfect fit. But guess what? He wasn't Moses. In fact, Joshua wasn't just following a leader. Joshua was following a legend. You have to imagine what Joshua and the nation of Israel were wondering. They both probably are wondering the same thing. Is he up to the task? I mean, Joshua might be a great guy, but he is no Moses. He hasn't come close to doing any of the things that Moses has done. Now keep this in mind, that from the beginning of Exodus all the way to the end of Deuteronomy, who's been the main figure at that time in the Bible? It's Moses. It's been Moses. He's been in the spotlight. Moses dominates Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And now Moses is dead and he's gone. But I think God wants us to understand something. God's servants, they come and they go. But God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change, and he is still on the throne. This is his church. This is his work. It continues on. The second thing that we need to remember today from these verses in Joshua, we need to remember that God always keeps his word. We see this in verses 2 through 4, but also in verse 6. Joshua knew what God had already promised to Moses concerning the promised land. He was aware of what God had told Moses, but I believe it really helped Joshua to hear it directly from God to himself, and that's exactly what God does here in verse 2. He speaks directly to Joshua, saying this, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come," some translations say now, "now is the time for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them." You know, it's interesting when we look at this first chapter of the book of Joshua, specifically these first five verses, they basically give us the outline to the entire book. Let me point this out, how this is laid out here. Chapter 1, verse 2 talks about crossing over the Jordan River. Well, that takes place in chapters 1 through 5 in the book. Then in verse 3, it talks about the conquering of the land. And that takes place from chapter 5, the end, into chapter 12, up to chapter 12. Then in verse 4, it speaks about the distribution of the land, north, south, east, and west. And that is described in chapters 13 all the way through chapter 22. And then finally, at the end of Joshua's life, that is recorded in chapters 23 and 24. So if you look at the first five verses of Joshua, it basically gives us the outline for the book and what's happening. God reveals that to us. There's an author, his name is Crawford Latouris, and he says this about the first chapter of Joshua. He writes, "If you want an exposition on courage, read Joshua 1, 1 through 9. It may be the finest exposition of courage in all of the Bible. Courage always arises when we have a clear assignment from our God." And that's what God is giving Joshua in these verses. He says, "My servant Moses, he is dead, he is gone. Joshua, now is the time. It's time for you to lead these people across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. Now is the time for action. Do not hesitate. Don't wait. It's time to go. Get moving. Everywhere your feet touch, you will be standing on land that I have already given you." That's past tense. He has already given them to the people. God makes this promise to Joshua, and it's the same promise that had been given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to Moses. "All of this land," God says, "I have already given it to you. I promised it to the patriarchs, and now Joshua, I am promising it to you. Go in and take the land." Friends, we need to remember that our God is a God who always keeps his word. We may break ours, heaven forbid, that we break our words, but God will never break his word. It is impossible. Let's go on to verse three, or to point number 3. Here's what we need to remember. We need to remember that God will never fail or abandon us. Say, that's good. Aren't you glad that he will never forsake you, that he will never turn his back on you? This is a promise, friends. This isn't just hyperbole, okay? This is the promise from God. He will never fail or abandon us. And I believe that this is one of the most wonderful promises that's found in all Scripture. It appears, like we've read before, in Deuteronomy chapter 31. It talks about it in verse 6, verse 8, and in verse 23. And it's also mentioned again in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. God says, I will never fail or abandon you. And this promise reaches two high points in the Bible. Let me point these out this morning. First, we see it in the incarnation, where Jesus becomes our Emmanuel, God with us. And secondly, we see it in the Great Commission, where Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We see it at the beginning of his life as he comes as Emmanuel, and we see it at the end of his earthly life here. He promises that he will be with us. He will not fail us. He will not abandon us. He will be with us to the end. And that's the promise he gives. Now, why is it, I don't know if you've thought about this, why is it that Joshua needs to hear or be reminded multiple times in Deuteronomy and in Joshua that God is going to be with him no matter where he goes? Why would he need that? Well, can I just tell you what I think this morning? This is just commentary from Darth, if I can give this to you. Even though Joshua is a great leader, he's a great warrior, he's a godly man, even great men and great women have doubts. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning if you've ever had a doubt before. That would probably be all of us. Even great men and women, they have doubts. They begin to wonder. And maybe some of us here today, we've been there. You know, we think, you know, you look like you have all your stuff together, right? If people were look at you, you wouldn't give off any kind of a feeling of discouragement or that you have doubts or anything. You just kind of carry yourself with a sense of confidence in your life. But both you and I know this deep down inside, there are times in all of our lives where we will face doubts, where we will wonder, where we'll feel unsure. Do I really have what it takes? Am I up to the task that's before me? And if we would humble ourselves for a moment and admit, nope, I don't have what it takes. I do not have the ability to do this. It's too big for me. This task is more than I have the ability to meet and accomplish. If we get to a point where we will admit that, that's a good thing. Because when we get to that point, that's when God can really probably use us to do things that he wants to do if we will humble ourselves before him. You see, God doesn't accomplish great things through proud people. God accomplishes great things through humble people. That's who he works through. And humble people from time to time need encouragement. Joshua needed to be reminded that no matter what he was going to face, he was not going to face it on his own and all alone. God was going to be with him. Look at it again. Let's look at verse 5, Joshua 1:5. God tells him, "No one will be able to stand against you, Joshua, as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Let's go to verse 9. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." But the fact of the matter is this. Sometimes, even though we know from his word that God is with us, we can still doubt and we can still be unsure. I want to tell you a quick story about a couple, Adoniram and Ann Judson. They were the first American foreign missionaries. Then they went to the country of Burma in 1813. They sailed to this country as missionaries from America. Their story is both moving and it's tragic. First of all, the Burmese language is very difficult to learn. And they worked for 6 years in Burma before they saw their very first convert to Christianity. They faced intense governmental hostility and threats of death for preaching the gospel. In fact, Adoniram, he was put in a jail, in a prison, for 17 months, and it was a notorious death prison where he was tortured and beaten just brutally, and he was neglected. And during that time, his wife Anne would come to the prison and to this jail, and she would attempt to try to care for him and do anything she could to help him during his incarceration. eventually, after 17 months, he was released from this jail. Sometime later, Anne would give birth to a daughter. Now, to make a long story short, Adoniram had to take a long journey, so he had to leave his wife and daughter behind. He went on this journey, and after a time of being away, he received a letter. And the letter, as he opened it and he read it, he discovered that his wife, Anne, had died. He came back to Burma, and after he came back to Burma, had returned to Burma, 2 months later, his daughter died. He went into such a deep place of depression and discouragement that it said he went out into the jungles of Burma and he did not come back for a long time. In fact, the national people there thought he had been eaten by tigers because they said no one goes out there alone for this long and survives. They thought he was dead. But while he was gone for so long, he was in this jungle, he was out there, he dug a grave. And every day he would come and he would sit by that grave and he would look into that grave. For 40 days he did this. And later he would write these words of this experience. He wrote this as his conversation that he had with God as he sat there at that grave hole. This is what he says. I looked into the grave and I said, God, I know that you are there, but I can't find you. God, you are there. That is a statement of faith. But I can't find you, that's doubt. And that's what he walked through and he went through. And you know what? Some of God's greatest servants, they go through times like that. They know by faith that God is still here. He is with me, but I sure don't feel it. I can't see it with my eyes. And yet, we believe and we trust because we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Have you been there before? Probably one of my darkest moments was when I was going through the time of our son, Braden, and his times with his medical history. Many of you know that. And there was times where I'm a pastor. I've got ordination certificate on my wall. I'm an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. I've served the Lord most of my life. And I believe in God. But there was times I said, God, where are you? I can't see you right now. What I'm experiencing, what we're going through seems too much. God, these are the things I'm praying for and these are the things I want to see. And God, I want to see it with my eyes. Many of you prayed for Braden when he was in utero, asking God to heal him. But it's always been about faith and trust. And God is teaching us all, no matter what we go through, what we have experienced or what we may experience, God wants us to walk with him and to trust him because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so Joshua, no doubt, was wondering, am I up for this task that the Lord has asked of me? He said, Lord, you've called me, but have you really called me? Is this really what you want me to do? And Joshua needed to be reminded of the Lord's promise that I will never fail you or abandon you. In fact, God affirms this promise in a number of interesting ways between parallels from the life of Moses and the life of Joshua, just to reassure him that God was with him. Look at these parallels. God was with Moses when he parted the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to go across on dry land. And he will be with Joshua when he parts the Jordan River and allows them to cross over and come into the promised land. God was with Moses when he defeated the Egyptians, and he will be with Joshua when he defeats the Hittites and all the other ites that they're gonna face in the land. God was with Moses at the burning bush when God told Moses to take off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. And in Joshua chapter 5, verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army says these exact words, almost verbatim, remove your shoes because the place you are standing on is holy ground. I have to believe that God used each one of these instances just as a way to remind Joshua of his promise that he would be with him as he was with Moses. I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. Leads us to point 4 this morning in your notes. When God gives us a strategy for success, we can trust his strategy will work. Let me say that again. When God gives us a strategy for success, not a magic potion, a strategy, we can trust it will work. And we find these in verses 6, 7, and 9. 3 times God gives Joshua this command. And friends, when God mentions something 3 times, it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit, okay? So here's what he says to Joshua, chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything that you do. Verse 9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. One more author I want to quote this morning, Oswell Sanders. He has a book called Spiritual Leadership, and this is what he says. He says, leaders require courage of the highest order, always moral courage, and then often physical courage as well. Courage is the quality of mind that enables people to encounter danger and difficulty firmly without fear or discouragement. Not everyone is courageous by nature. A call to courage would actually be rather pointless if no one ever feared anything. So it's not unusual for God to challenge us to be courageous because basically, because of our fallen sinful natures, we're not. Friends, if we want to follow Jesus and do what he has called us to do, we need to remember whatever we face, we will never face it alone. And this is why he says, be strong and courageous. The presence of God, the glory of God, the grace of God, it is for you and it is with you. God, who has made this kind of promise to all of us here who are gathered in this room and has made that same promise to anyone who's watching online today, he gives us 4 keys on how to be successful the way that he defines what success is. And this is important, okay? 4 keys. Here's the first one, simply and quickly. Number 1, obey the word. The word do or obey appears 5 times in verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to the left or the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything that you do. Verse 8, study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. And by the way, can I pause for just a second? I just want to point this out. The word that God may speak into your heart through the Holy Spirit will never contradict his written word. Right? You may think that God is speaking a word into your heart and he's telling you to do this, but if it is contrary to the word of God, the written word of God, you reject that. God will never call us or ask us to do something that is contrary to the scriptures. And we need to be clear out there. There's people out there today who say, well, God gave me this and God gave me this. If it goes against the scriptures, friend, we need to reject it. It's either from a demon or it's from our own imaginations. Because we believe that the Bible and the word of God is the standard. It is truth. And God will never contradict his word in your heart. Got it? Good. Sorry, I had to say that for a moment. Just obey the word. That's number 1. The second one is this. Speak the word. Verse 8 in the NIV says this. Keep this book of the law on your lips always. On your lips. In the ancient world, many times they would read scriptures out loud as they meditated on the Bible. So I encourage you to try this, okay? Like I stood up here this morning and I read scripture out loud for like 5 minutes at the beginning of the message. I want you to try this sometime. I want you to read the word out loud sometime. Just, you can find a place where no one else is around. Read the word out loud and you will hear it in a different way. Read it out loud. Read it to yourself and it will impact you differently, I promise you. It will change you. Number three, meditate on the word. Verse 8, keep this book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Friends, it's not just enough to read the Bible. We need to meditate on the scriptures. As the famous English preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, we need to soak ourselves in the word. We need to immerse ourselves and soak ourselves in his word. So we obey it, we speak it, we meditate on it, and finally, number four, we enjoy the blessings of it. Verse 7, do not deviate from the word, turning either to the right or to the left, then you will be successful in everything you do. Verse 8, be careful to do everything written in it, that's the word, then you will be prosperous and successful. Friends, we live in a time when people want to talk about success, and when they talk about it, they want to talk about all the things that they've accomplished, right? All the things that they've done. But when they do that, they get it all upside down in terms of what the Bible teaches. We tend to think of it in these terms. Well, if I'm successful and prosperous, that means I'll have a lot of money. I'm going to have a better position. I'm going to be a person of influence. But whenever success does look like in those kind of terms, I'm always reminded of what Jesus told us in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. He says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? We gain nothing if we gain the world and lose our soul. I'll end with this morning. Here's a simple definition of success. Someone once said this. You feel free to write it down if you want. Success is having God in you in life and having God beside you at death. When you think about success, what the world says success is and what God says success is having God in you in life and having God beside you at death. Amen. Joshua is ready to take on the greatest challenge of his life. He has doubts, I'm sure he has fears, but then God steps in and he says, just remember, Joshua, servants come and they go, but I never change. I remain the same. I have given you my word, Joshua, and you can take that to the bank. That's a check that you can cash. You can count on it. I have given you a promise. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I have given you steps to success, to succeed. Obey my word, read my word, meditate on my word, and then you will enjoy the blessings that come as a result of it. Be encouraged, Joshua, no matter where you go, because I promise you, I will be with you every step of the way. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come out and join on stage. I'm going to ask you to just do something. Would you just stand with me? Let's just stand with me, and would you just bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the encouragement of these first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. We see how your servant Joshua, even as great as he was, he needed encouragement. And he had a task that he knew was bigger and greater than anything that he could tackle or do on his own. He understood what you were calling him to, Lord. But still, Joshua knew this as well. God plus one is all that we need. And your promise to him was that you would be with him. He had you. He had your promise. And Lord, that same promise that you gave to Joshua is the promise that you're giving to every single person here within the sound of my voice. It's that same promise you give to all of your children. You promise to be with us wherever you call us, whatever you ask us to do. You will never fail nor abandon us. Thank you, God, for the confidence that we can have in who you are. When we look in the mirror, we see ourselves as mere human beings and our limitations, God, and that is true. But God, we can trust and we can believe in you that when you ask us to do something, when you call us to something, God, you will make a way. That everything we experience in this life, as long as we are following after you, anything that we face, anything that we come against, we know, God, we do not face it alone. So Jesus, today as we're in this place, God, I pray for everyone here who knows you as Lord and Savior. May they trust you today, knowing what you have promised. You have promised your presence with them in every instance, and you've also given us your word. So Lord, let us embrace you and your word. Help us to trust and not fear. Help us to step out in the things you're asking us to do. Help us to see how great you are, not how small we are, but God, may you be magnified in our eyes and in our life as you guide us and lead us today. If there's anyone here, Father, who's discouraged, who's doubting, that's okay. God, may they look to you as the source, as life. God, we give you this morning, we give you this teaching. I pray, Father, that we leave this place, God, we will obey your word. We will speak your word. We'll meditate on your word. God, we will do what it says. And may we receive the blessings that come from it, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God in our lives. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.